It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Another big business deal announced today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. The giant computer chip maker Intel will buy part of the German chip firm Infineon for $1.4 billion. This gets Intel into the lucrative smartphone market because Infineon makes the chips for the iPhone 4. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
The deal is the second this month for Intel, which bought the computer security firm McAfee for almost $8 billion a couple weeks ago. And it comes as the French company Sanofi Aventis makes public its $18 billion bid for the U.S. biotech firm Genzyme. Alain Bocobzai is the head of global asset allocation with Société Générale in Paris. He says today's news signals the end of a three-year decline in mergers and acquisitions, or M&A. But he says in the short term, that's not good news for job growth.
When you go through M&A, you lay off people after you do it.
Howard Wieldon agrees. He's senior strategist at BGC Partners in London.
But if you have all the parts of the jigsaw on the board and you're patient, then, in fact, there is a benefit. What it is essentially saying is that capitalism is moving on.
He says the fact that companies are now confident enough to spend some of their vast cash reserves is good news for the long-term health of the economy, even though right now they're spending on new companies instead of new hires. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Boy, could the economy use some good news. The government has tried stimulus spending. The Federal Reserve has lowered interest rates. Still, we sputter along. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports Congress could look next at the tax code.
A presidential advisory board has suggested some tax changes that could help the economy. The board didn't make any recommendations, but the head of the review committee, former Reagan economic advisor Martin Feldstein, was clear about what he thought is wrong.
The United States has a very high corporate tax rate, higher than any other industrial country than Japan.
Are corporate taxes keeping businesses from creating jobs? Stephen Enten heads a think tank on the economics of taxation. He says everything else the government's tried has been a waste.
If instead of spending all that money, they had cut the corporate income tax, renewed the Bush tax cuts, particularly the two top rates that fall on the people who are doing the bulk of small business investment, then you would have seen more investment by the private sector.
Resulting, he says, in more jobs. But economist Mark Zandi of Moody's Analytics says there's a faster way. Keep and expand a tax credit for businesses that hire the unemployed.
Make it more lucrative, bigger, and publicize it much better than they have the current one.
Zandi says the recovery is too fragile to allow the Bush income tax cuts to expire. He'd extend the cuts, even for the wealthy, until the economy gets going again. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Now let's see how the stock trade is going. Asian markets were solidly higher today. The Bank of Japan eased its monetary policy to help juice the economy. European stocks are mostly lower. Wall Street had a tough time last week, but it ended with the Dow Industrials jumping 164 points on Friday. That's more than 1.5%. The close was 10,150. Google's YouTube video site is reportedly in talks with Hollywood movie studios to launch a pay-per-view video service. The Financial Times says Google will take on Apple in the race to dominate the digital distribution of films and TV shows.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
5 years ago today, New Orleans restaurants were closed. The city was full of water after Hurricane Katrina overtopped the levees. The only meals to be found were emergency rations. But New Orleans food culture has come back since the storm. Marketplace's Eve Tro met a family who found an unlikely way to keep their cooking alive.
It's 10:30 a.m. at the cafeteria of Loyola Law School in Uptown New Orleans. The staff's preparing for the lunch rush.
So the day for lunch is mustard greens, smothered pork chop, candy yams, cornbread.
Peggy Ratliff runs this kitchen. And no, this is not normal college fare. Ratliff and her mother, Celestine Dunbar, used to have a soul food restaurant called Dunbar's Creole Cooking.
It was family. You just can just come in, put your arms on the table, get your fingers greasy, and so it was just home.
The restaurant was destroyed by Hurricane Katrina. The family business was closed until Dunbar had an idea. She called universities to ask if they needed help running their kitchens. Ratliff says they landed the law school contract a few weeks later.
Well, it looked like we would have been out of the restaurant business if Loyola wouldn't have opened up their doors to her so generously.
It was a deal specific to post-Katrina New Orleans, when creative partnerships were vital. Liz Williams directs the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. She says Katrina drove out many corporate food franchises.
In their place came up all those little mom-and-pop places that had been displaced. So now we have more restaurants that are owned locally than before Hurricane Katrina.
And Peggy Ratliff says local cooks are more appreciated, too.
Now people are more conscious of preserving the food culture here.
Dunbar's may be the only Creole restaurant on a college campus.
So she's doing fried chicken.
And the family members plan to keep the cafeteria contract, but they also want to serve their old neighborhood again. It's about a mile away, called Ferret. Peggy Ratliff doesn't know when that will happen.
It's not clear yet. By being closed so long, you have to redo the whole building, the plumbing, the electric. Just don't have the funds.
There is a difference, she says, between finding stability and truly rebuilding. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
And finally, you're walking past a street musician. Guy sounds pretty good, but you don't have any change to throw into his guitar case. Well, that's no longer an excuse. The British bank, Barclays, has tricked out the guitar of a London busker with what it calls contactless technology. Passersby could just wave a credit card over the guy's guitar to make a donation. Catchphrase of this recession? Brother, can you spare a swipe? This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.